Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to The Art of Craftsmanship. My name's Dustin, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello, hello.
Did I say Art of Craftsmanship or Art of Craftsmanship Podcast?
I don't know. You're both of them.
Well, here we are. We're here. We are The Art of Craftsmanship, and this is The Art of Craftsmanship Podcast.
Real creative name we got going on here.
That's right. Hey, you know, that's really, how everyone knows how to find us.
We dug deep for that one.
Well, funny quick story before we start. That name is it's a secondary name, which is different from the original name that I thought of, which was awesome. I was like, oh, I got a perfect name. It's great. Or I thought it, you know, it was like in my head. I didn't write it down. And then when I went to tell you, I couldn't remember it.
No, wasn't. So
it was like, you know, a similar idea, right? Of something combining art and craft in a clever way. But it wasn't The Art of Craftsmanship, but it was something else. Something really, really awesome.
Was it like one of those dream ideas you write down and you're not sure what it is afterward?
Well, I definitely remember like coming up with a really good, you know, name for the channel, and then like I couldn't remember it. And so The Art of Craftsmanship was the next thing based off of that. I was like, it's this. I can't remember it. But I also looked at Art of Craftsmanship, and then it was like completely gone forever. So.
And The Art of Craftsmanship is a good name, but the only thing is people can attack it for being pretentious, right? Because you have, like, art and, like, craftsmanship, so they can kind of be like, oh, it's an art, huh? Or the thing we get a lot is, like, where's the craftsmanship in this? Like, you know, when they want to attack negatively in the comments, like, I don't see any craftsmanship. I thought this was craftsmanship.
Well, the idea is that, like, you know, As an artist myself, like a fine artist, to train fine arts, I went to school, went to grad school for painting, you know.
Yeah, but they
don't know that. But for, you know, for our listeners, switching over to craft, it was like about the craftsmanship. That was like, I felt it there wasn't really a difference between like a painting and a knife.
Yeah.
You know, because it's all about that final execution, like using like the amount of craftsmanship that goes into it, the time and effort that goes into like finishing it and being proud of it and like showing it off as a piece of thing that's like a part of you, you know. So
they don't want to hear it. And it just so happens to have the initials, some initials that are very politically charged, which we were around before AOC was around. So
yes, we were. So we were. She copied us.
Right.
That's all right, you know. Like it's all media is good media, right? As they say.
I guess.
All right, what do you got for us today, Dev?
I wear a necklace because I want to know when I'm upside down. That's it.
That's good.
Nothing too deep. Can you guess who the quote is or who said it?
I wear a necklace because I want to know when I'm upside down. How about, like, is it someone, is it someone who would be upside down often?
No.
Okay. Is it?
I'll try to read it again in their voice. My best.
Okay.
I wear a necklace because I want to know when I'm upside down.
Sounds like you're doing a black guy's voice.
I'm
or a southern person's voice.
How dare you? Neither.
Neither. Huh, okay. Well then, it's a failed impression.
No, you're
necklace.
It's Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I wear a necklace because I want to know when I'm upside down.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Yeah. Well, let's hear yours.
I don't know. I gotta warm up. I gotta think of some other Mitch Hedberg jokes. They're all good. Mitch Hedberg, there you go. Early recommendation. If you've never listened to Mitch Hedberg live, you know, comedy, it's priceless.
Yeah.
So good. Let's see. Let's see. What's a good one?
Yeah,
How about like, they're all blanking. They're all gone. I'm like put on.
What's the one? He's blast. Like, Reese's Pieces is apostrophe S. That means someone owns it. So if he comes up to me one day, I'm like, I'm sorry, Reese. I didn't know these were yours.
That's pretty good. I didn't know these were your pieces. Yeah. I like to talk to oscillating fans, or I like to ask oscillating fans yes or no questions. Are you, what does he say? Are you something? Are you, he's like, do you keep my hair in order? Liar. I don't know. Yeah. No, Mitch Hedberg. There you go. That's a good one. He's like, what the fuck is a sesame? It was like sesame seeds. What's a sesame?
Is a hippopotamus a hippopotamus or just a really cool hippopotamus?
That's a good one. Yeah, they're so funny. So funny. But vulgar, so don't listen to children with children. I guess not vulgar, but he's just...
Cusses. I mean, they're just some of them. Oh, here's one more. I just read it. I don't have a girlfriend, but I do know a woman who'd be mad at me for saying that.
Yeah, it's the punctuation, like that's his bit, you know. That's so good. I love, you know, like I love listening to the comedy. That actually reminds me of just the it's not comedy, but the Fitz All podcast came out, or a new episode came out not too long ago with Jimmy DiResta and Andrew Alexander from Hantel Rescue, or from Blacksmith Tools, and then Eric from Hantel Rescue, and those three guys together are just so funny because they're like, they're all pretty quick-witted, and Eric is like super, super dry humor, and Andrew is just like really funny and quick-witted and like in a make fun of your friends kind of way, you know. Just, oh man, they're so good. And then JB's just like laughs at that, both of them. They're so funny.
So if we ever have a lull, I'll have a list of Mitch Hedberg jokes.
Just what it, man. I know. See, I can remember like all the punchlines because they're the ones that we, like Nicole and I, use in casual conversation.
Right.
You know, like, and blankets. Like I just remember the punchlines, and I'll just like say them. You know, it's like, I guess he's talking about the different, you know, like the different franchise fast food places where it's like, you know, you can get this, or what is that? Yeah. See, I can't remember them, but talking about how, if the place wants to do it, you know, like you don't have, like each Burger King doesn't have to do the same thing. It's like, we're going to sell burgers and french fries and blankets. hippopotamus. Oh man, I got to look up some. Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good one. Well, how was your vacation, Dev?
It was good. It was. This was my first official vacation as a parent.
Ah, all right. Nice.
It definitely takes extra work.
Yeah.
And steps and planning. even just going to the beach, you know. So you wake up, all the kids get breakfast. Then basically from there on, you're planning to go to the beach and like gearing up. Because we took the 10x10 tent, we took another tent. You got to take the baby napping tent. You take the coolers. You take all the bags with everything else in it. I mean, you don't have to, obviously. You can just walk to the beach with a chair. But
right.
This was how we did things, and it was a lot. It was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But once we got there, it was fun, and then you get to play. And I didn't know that kids fall over. Can you remember if Corinne fell over when she first went to the beach? Because when the wave,
like in the sand,
when the waves come in, you know, and they rush back out, obviously it looks like the ground's moving. So they all started running with the ground, trying to catch up to it, and they spill over.
I don't know. I don't remember Corinne doing that.
It's like, just funny. Stay still. She starts running sideways all fast. I'm like, no.
The ground's moving.
Yeah. I mean, just stay still now. And she takes off running sideways.
That's great. That's funny. Was your niece doing the same thing?
Yeah, they both did it. She had a little bit more beach experience because they go to Cape May.
Ah, nice.
Which, man, I wish we could go to Cape May. That hour and a half drive sounds delightful.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oof, that man. from Maryland to the Outer Banks where we went.
Yeah,
you know, down was actually not so bad. It was like 7.5-8 hours.
Right.
The way back was traffic, so it was rough. Oh,
yeah, that's a dagger. Yeah, that's a long haul. You know, we went to the like Southern Shores, which is the northern end of the Outer Banks, and so you know it usually takes us something like somewhere between 6 to 7 hours, depending on the amount of stops and traffic and whatnot. So. But yeah, it's a long haul. Did you go down like 95, DC, Richmond?
No, over? we went back. We went down farther east, kind of a back way to avoid 95. And it wasn't. I actually missed one exit, and I was going to catch back onto it.
Right.
And that gave me another way. Like, hey, go this way. I forget the exact roads, but it was actually much like nicer.
301 or something.
Because I think it was 301. Because the in-laws actually got stuck in 95 traffic. They left before us, and we got there like 20 minutes before them.
Man, that's rough.
But on the way back, we called the traffic, and they made it home pretty quick.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we went down recently. We went down 95, and we came back that back way, you know, kind of go over to, what is that, Norfolk or something, and then head north, you know. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that was, we did it that way because we were towing the trailer with all the furniture and stuff that we were bringing back, so we wanted to try to, you know, stay off the highway some, but yeah, no, that's a nice drive. It's nice because it's like kind of, you know, back towns and stuff, and you know,
yeah, there's a lot. On,
there was some time, but
yeah, there's a lot of stoplights, but at least you had stuff to look at.
Mm-hmm.
95 is brutal.
Yeah, yeah, we went up to Lake George last weekend, so you guys were gone like for the week, and then we went for a long weekend Wednesday through Sunday, up to Lake George, New York, and. We could go 95. It usually take about 45 minutes or so faster to go 95. But then, you know, heading north from Baltimore, you hit, like, you know, Delaware tolls and then Jersey tolls and New York tolls. And you end up spending, like, $40 or something just heading north from Baltimore up to New York. So
right.
We always go north. Instead of going 95, we go 83, which goes directly north up through Harrisburg, PA, and then New York, Pennsylvania, and up that way, Scranton, and up into Hartford, Connecticut, and up. So we kind of avoid those tolls, but it adds a little bit more time. But the same thing, it's, you know, it's a nice, it's a more scenic route. It's nice, you know, not just being on 95, which, you know, has its benefits if you don't care about the money. You know, you can save you some time, but it also, there's a lot of traffic too. So
yeah,
trade offs of traveling.
We stayed in Salvo, which is kind of in the middle of the Outer Banks. Do you know how Salvo got its name?
Salvo sounds like a gas company.
What's that?
Sounds like a gas company.
Salvo. No,
like Salvo or auto parts.
We actually stopped because I did. Maybe I'll put it on Instagram, but I don't know if I sent you a picture. But the bikes worked. We hooked the bikes on the back. Everything stayed put.
Nice.
And we got to ride around, and it was actually really nice and really fun. Ah. But we stopped at a plaque, and it said it used to be called after one of the families that were there.
Uh-huh.
But then, during the Civil War, Northern Union ships came by and fired a salvo at the town. You know, a cannon salvo.
Okay,
A salvo is just a round, it's like a one round or one set of shots.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just at the town, probably just to harass them, any town in the south, you know.
Yeah. Right.
And on the map that they wrote, they just wrote next to it salvo. Like this is where we shot at them. And that became known as salvo.
That's crazy. Yeah. I've never heard that term, salvo, before.
Really?
For that, like, thing. No, yeah.
Thought you were a seaman.
Yeah, well.
You're like, we don't have cannons.
I'm a real sailor, not a Navy sailor.
Salvo. Yeah. a simultaneous discharge of artillery or other guns in battle.
Oh, okay.
So a deafening salvo of shots rang out. So, yeah, one.
Gotcha. Like, they all, everything fired at the same
time.
Yeah,
so they all just went by and said fire, and then they all. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's cool. That's so, crazy, yeah. though. Like, what a unfortunate way to get a name, I guess. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they were like, it was the McCullens, McCrackens. Like, why? And now you no, you're Salvo. We shot at you.
It's on the map. That's what it
killed
says.
Killed right your there.
Grandpad. if your name's that on the map, that's what you are.
So we had a good weekend. We had a great big house right on the water, you know.
And how many folks were there? What was your party?
Six adults.
Mm-hmm.
Three kids.
Gotcha.
So it was actually a plenty big of a house. So pretty much everyone had their own room.
Yeah.
All the kids. So they didn't have to nap together, you know?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, big decks everywhere. We had our own pool. There was even a kiddie pool and a hot tub, which I didn't really. The first night I did the hot tub, but then after that, I'm like, I'm not getting hot. I'm hot.
Yeah, right. I'll get into the pool.
Yeah, I'd like to live in the pool.
Yeah, right.
but anyway, I think it was the third or fourth day, and I was going for an ice and beer run.
Yeah.
And there's a food line, Avon.
Mm-hmm.
I made to get some more stuff. So I was like, I'll just go down there, grab everything at once. It was like 20 minutes away. And I get there, and I just start shopping. I walk by this old fella and a couple people huddled around him. And I look over, and I see that his hand's bleeding.
Okay.
And then the woman looks over at me and says, or someone says, can you help? Okay. So I walk over and it had just happened. He said he slipped and fell and his hand was cut up in like five places.
Dang.
So we're like, okay. And then the meat counter brings some paper towels over and he just keeps bleeding.
Jeez.
And then a woman comes up and luckily she had a bunch of big band-aids and stuff. So we start patching him up. And they're like, no one's coming around. Like, I'm like, what's going on? Like, I mean, and it was super kind of crazy busy.
Yeah.
Cause it's like the only,
grocery store.
It's the only grocery store down there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There's some up towards Nag's Head and stuff, but like, this is the big one down there.
Right.
So finally I kind of catch someone, employee, and ask him, can someone come here, help this guy? And I got the sense that they didn't want to do anything other than get him out of there.
Oh, man.
Because maybe he could sue. You know, he said he slipped and now he's hurt. Like,
yeah, right.
That's how people sue stores. But also, I'm like, what do you care? You're an assistant manager at a food line. Like,
yeah, what do you care?
It's not your store. Just help this man out and do whatever. Like, you're not the legal department. It's not coming out of your paycheck if this guy, rightly so, gets like his self fixed up and gets a little money for whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's crazy.
And then he's there and then he's like, I'll just go around and I'm good. Like, but he's still dripping blood, you know?
Yeah.
And people are still trying to squeeze by him. I'm like, hey, like, stop. Like, where are you going? Like, people are just trying to hustle through, you know? And they're like, start to realize. So then we get him a cart and he starts to, I'm like, why don't you just head back? You need help getting your car? Why don't we be done for today, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Get you out of here. And he said, I got to get some more stuff. My wife's at home. She can't. I guess she, you know, had her own issues. He's probably the only one who can. So he starts to walk away, and his knee gives out.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I don't know whether he slipped first, you know, to hurt his knee, or his knee was just giving out on him.
Yeah.
But he almost fell again, so I kind of grab him. Help him to his cart, and then I'm like, what do you need? And he just keeps saying, like, I'm fine, I just need to get some stuff. So I'm like, all right, and I turn to grab my cart, and the fire alarm goes off.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm looking around like, wait, what's going on? You know, I'm already like, you know, you're kind of like flustered because you're trying to help this guy out. And then he drives away. So I turn and, like, have my cart. I'm like, I guess I can't check out. I walk up to the front, and they're like, you know, everyone's got to go out now. Out now. Like, someone comes from the back. Like, let's get everyone out. Like, they saw apparently some smoke in the back. So it's like, serious. So I'm like, I'm like, hang on. So I go back, and I got to find the guy because he's just, like, carting around.
Yeah, right.
Dazed. I'm like, come on, man, we're heading out. He's like, I got all this stuff in my, because he had, we transfer all his stuff to his little front basket on the cart.
Right.
I'm like, ah, just come on, like, it's fine. Like,
oh, like a, oh, he's got like a handicap cart.
Yeah, he's got all his food and stuff in it.
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, well, we got to get out. We come on, just whatever. Like, we'll just keep it, and then you can. Then he comes out, and it's super hot, and he's like sitting there, and I can just tell he's just kind of, like, you know, just old guy. Poor old guy having a tough day.
Yeah.
And the, but he's all by himself in his cart, like sitting out in the sun, while like the fire engine's arriving and stuff.
Jeez.
I'm like, oh my gosh. So I walk over to another group of employees. I'm like, hey, is there a manager here or something? I'm like, you have this guy over here. He's bleeding. He fell in your store. Like, you got to help him out. And they're like, oh, okay. So they call someone.
Jeez.
And they get someone to come over. It was like two people. The managers finally came up and were like, okay, sir. Well, and again, they were trying to get him out, but at least they were like, we'll get you to your car. Don't worry about the groceries. Like, you can have them. Like, they just gave him the groceries.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They were like, just, and another thing, probably just like, get out of here. Go on. Like, try to make him happy. Here's have some free $20 worth of groceries.
Yeah, exactly. Eat the cost of, you know, the groceries. Jeez. To say.
So then I'm like, all right, let's, where's your car? Come on, let's go. Like, it's, we don't know how long this is going to be. I take him, you know, he scoots over to his car. I load his stuff up, and he's having trouble walking and stuff. And another lady actually comes up and helps, which was nice. You know, she just started helping me load his stuff. And then I'm like, are you sure? I'm like, can you call someone, like, to you know, help you out when you get home, or, like, let you know what's going on? He's like, oh, I don't have a phone. I'm too old. I was like, oh, my gosh. That's exactly when you need a phone. I think he did say something about, I have a necklace thing. You know, one of those, like,
like,
I fall and I can't get up. Right. But he's like, of course, he didn't wear it, you know, like they do. I'm just not wearing it. And then, so I asked him again, I said, do you want me to, you want to call an ambulance or something? We can get you checked out. But I think he was, again, thinking about his wife and probably just a little old and stubborn, like, ah, it's just some cuts, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right.
So I was more worried about his leg and his knee giving out, you know, while he's trying to.
Yeah, trying to get home, yeah.
But, and he was, you know, he's nice and thankful and seemed together. So, I mean, he was in his car and fine. So I was like, all right, well, like, good luck. I was like, please, like, when you get, like, try to call for a neighbor or something, honk, or maybe someone can help you out a little bit, help you bring stuff in. And he was like, yeah, I can do that. So whether he did or not, I don't know. I kind of felt, I should have just, like, figured out where he was and, like, hey, let's go, like, just finished it. Because I was already, like,
yeah, you were already.
I wasn't shopping anymore. I was already. Yeah. I was already had done all the rest of it. Jeez. So I hope he's okay. I felt a little bad. Like when I was driving away, and I was like actually kind of looking for his car again. I was like, oh, maybe I can like follow him. But then I was like, it's too late now. So then I end up going all the way down to, I guess Hatteras or whatever's all the way at the end to get something else, because actually I kind of got out of there quick because there was a bunch of. Fire trucks arriving and like shutting stuff down. So I was like, oh my God, I gotta get out before something happens. And apparently there's some smoke in the back and something. So the fire trucks came and I don't know what happened. Actually, I did come back through and I think it was open again. So it must've been something quick.
Yeah. They figured something out.
But like an hour or two later, they had fixed whatever it was. But yeah, that was my crazy food line.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy, man.
Like, oh my gosh.
That's a good deed for the year.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, again, it was because no one else was doing anything. That's one of those things where it's like, I'm not trying to be Mr. Helpful Guy, but when you see that no one's helping, you're like, I guess I'll do it.
I guess I don't have a choice anymore. Right. You would think other people would think the same thing, right? And multiple people would do that.
Right. Or, you know, store manager should step in quick and really take care of it and make sure he's okay. But they weren't, like, doing anything.
That's crazy. Right. And it's not inconvenient for them. They're at work. Like,
right.
They have to stay there. Like, you don't have to stay there. You're supposed to be like, grocery stores are designed to get in and out. Like, that's it.
Right.
Like, I got shit to do.
Right.
Try to get some beer, some ice.
I got a beer run.
Back to my beach.
Here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're at work. When I'm at work, I help out the people around me.
Someone falls and is bleeding. I'll help them. Weirdly enough.
Yeah, right.
So
that's crazy.
So, you know, hopefully he's all good. And, you know, it's just a crazy, like, everything just happened at once. You're like, well, what is going on?
Is this the Twilight Zone?
So that was the craziest thing. But the rest of the days were good. A lot of beaching and pool time. Nice, and we got to ride around the bikes three or four times, do a couple just
nice
trips, top speed.
It was
real fun.
That's sweet. Did you you take Maeve out with you on the bikes? Like,
yeah.
Did you ever see everything? Nice.
Yeah. Went on a couple bike rides with us three, and it was actually really, really
nice.
That's nice.
Yeah. That's great. How was the weather down there? Super hot?
Pretty good. Not too hot. There's a really, I mean, you know, beach is always a breeze, but there was some really good breeze nice. Keeping us cool. There was, it was supposed to threaten thunderstorms all week, but it didn't really, it did some.
Yeah.
There's one day we couldn't go out because it was storming, and then another day we were, we were doing some surf fishing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we got hit with the storm before we could really do anything. Because we had gotten up early, we were like, look, we'll just take all, because we had two big carts.
Yeah.
We'll take them out filled with stuff, all the chairs, all the, everything.
Right.
And we'll just go out and fish in the morning and set it up. And then we looked kind of off to the south, and it was just this giant black mass of clouds. And we're like, well, what do we do? Do we want to? Because we had just set everything up.
Oh, man.
So it came. It did come through. But, you know, those beach storms usually go by quick.
Yeah, just, right.
So it was like 10 minutes, but we all, you know, all three of us got soaked. But we're like, yeah, well, whatever.
Where were you? Had you put up the, like, the 10 by 10 or the pop-up?
We had, but then we brought it down because the wind was kicking up.
Gotcha.
Something crazy. So we're like, you know, let's just kind of pull it down together.
Yeah.
And then wait it out. And just, we're going to get wet anyway, you know. And we didn't mind. We all had
to. So you didn't just walk back to the house? Wasn't it right over the dunes? Weren't you right, like, on the beach?
Kind of, but we had all our fishing rods out.
Yeah, yeah.
We had all the stuff there. So we would, I mean, and it's like a pretty good walk. There were basically two dunes.
Ah, okay.
It was maybe a 10-minute walk with stuff, you know?
Dang.
Five to 10 minutes of just slow-going, heavy stuff. So we kind of... Right. We didn't want to have to go. We didn't want to go back.
Yeah, it wasn't just over a single dune to the house. Yeah,
no,
that's like where we were up in Southern Shores, or that was kind of, you know, it was like right on the beach, right on the other side of the dune. So it was like a, you know, a 30-second walk, if that, from the house to the beach.
No, it wasn't that where we
gotcha.
Were.
Gotcha. So that was back some.
All right. Yeah. So,
but yeah, that's okay. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I mean, you're on the beach as long as it's not like bad lightning or anything. Even if it were, it's like not gonna, you know, there's so much water around and stuff, you know.
Right.
Probably fine. On the beach is probably the best, you know, one of the better spots to be. Yeah.
But yeah, we made it there and made it out and got some, had a good time. It was real nice.
Nice, right on. Did you end up going back to that store, like, while you were down there? That Food Lion or whatever?
No. Well, I think that was the last 4 days in or 5 days in.
Gotcha.
So we were pretty much good for beer after that. And I actually bought it all at a Dollar General.
Nice.
Which is weird. They were stocked with beer.
No one thinks to go there.
I was like, all right.
Sweet. Yeah, you got to love that about other states that sell beer
in anywhere.
Like normal grocery stores.
And it was really good prices. Like all the good 12 packs were like 16, 17 bucks.
Yeah, right on. Nice. Yeah, that's a good deal.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, and for real good stuff. So,
And that's the other thing that I've always noticed at, you know, states that have beer and wine or whatever in grocery stores is that you get all the grocery store discounts. You know, it's like the Food Line discount on, like, whatever, you know, longboard, you know, it's like $14.99, you know, down from $17.
Right.
So you're always getting, like, they're always discounted, or there's some stuff that's discounted. Yeah. So
liquor stores up here, they don't discount unless they have too much or something.
Right, exactly.
And it's in the wrong season. Like, you can get a great pumpkin ale in the middle of summer. They'll give you a hell of a deal because it's been sitting for a year.
since last October. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we had, up Lake George, we went up on Wednesday, and we had really good weather on Wednesday, and then Thursday it rained for maybe like an hour and a half around like noon, and other than that it was like pretty much clear the rest of the time we were up there. Beautiful weather, because here in Maryland it was like 100 with, you know, like real feel of 106 for like four days in a row. So we hit like the perfect time, because usually when we go up to Lake George, even in summer, it's always in like the end of, you know, middle to the end of July. It's usually, I would say, the temperature is somewhere between like 70 and 80, right? So it's in the 70s usually. And for me, that's fine. Like, I don't mind. But, you know, if it's a little overcast and it's like 72, then it feels kind of chilly when the wind blows and you don't really want to get in the water. You know, if we go to a lake house, you want to be able to get in the water. Right. Like, that's, we're all there. We want to go swimming. We want to be able to, like, relax. We set up the flotilla. You know, we do a bunch of, like, river tubes, and we just tie them all together in one big, like, giant mass. And then everyone just sits in them out and floats, and we anchor it out, you know, like 20 yards from the land. So yeah, it's really nice. So but the weather was really nice. So it was in the, like, you know, anywhere between low 80s to low 90s the whole time we were there, which is like just perfect. You know, and the humidity was a little bit up, so it felt warmer too. So it was like, you really felt nice in the water. A little sweaty when we're like in the house without AC, but there's enough, a nice breeze coming off the lake, usually pretty good. So it was really nice. And we ended up going out one day on my wife's cousin rented a boat for a day, and we ended up going out in the afternoon with them. And it was like my wife and I, and then her cousin Dan and Kyle, two cousins, and then Dan's wife, and then two friends who are always there, Sarah and Hannah. They're always at the lake as well. So other, you know, all of our kind of generation. So we went out, and we went north on Lake George. So Lake George is like 32 or 33 miles long, and it's relatively narrow most of the way. Like, the widest spot might be a mile, maybe, you know, maybe even less. But there's like real narrow spots, like up, you know, halfway up and then up above that. So they actually called the Narrows, surprisingly enough. So we went up there, and it's a bunch of little islands that are all kind of, you know, they have little channels between them that could be from anywhere from like 100 yards wide down to like three boats wide, you know, like 30 feet or 40 feet wide. So we just kind of like slowly meandered and worked our way through them, kind of explored around. Like, that's kind of what Dan wanted to do, because he had never been up there and never had, you know, a chance to just explore around, because we never had a boat. You know, they have a boat at the lake, but it was always like the adults taking the kids out and go tubing and whatnot, you know. So it was cool to like go up and putter around and find cool spots. And we ended up anchoring in this little channel between a couple islands that was maybe like, I don't know, maybe 50 yards wide or something like that. But really deep in the middle, like right where we anchored, it was probably like 15 feet deep. So it was like, nice, not really deep, you know what I mean? Like, it went down pretty deep, maybe somewhere between 15 and 20 feet. And, but it was clear, like all the way down, because Lake George is one of the, like, the cleanest lakes, because it's, been a like tourist lake for a really long time, but it's also a like kind of hoity toity tourist lake, you know? So as a, you know, all the homes and things that are on the lake are pretty like, you know, they've either been there for a long time or they've been rebuilt and they're beautiful, like mansions and stuff. So, but, you know, they do a really good job of keeping that lake really clean. So, you know, it was clear all the way down, which is always fun. I love swimming in deep water. So that was like super cool. So we dropped the anchor and I just dove off the boat and dove like straight down to the bottom and set the anchor. Cause it's kind of like, sandy, you know, kind of dirt, kind of sandy, a little bit of grassy, but not, and a few rocks, but not like a ton. It's not like a really solid bottom. So I actually like pushed it in, you know, swam back up, and we were like doing flips off the boat. And then we were swimming to the two islands and hanging out and drinking. And it was awesome. At one point I was like, it seemed like the boat had moved more than I thought. So I went back over and I swam down, and I got, you know, halfway down, I just see like a white puff, like a white cloud around where the anchor should be. And I'm like, huh. So I kind of swim down through it. And then once I get to it, I can see the anchor is like tipped up kind of sideways and just dragging along kind of slowly and just like making a little cloud. I was like, yep, we're dragging. So I just flipped it, pushed it back in, turned around, put my feet on it, and kicked off really hard back to the top, you know, like sunk it down in real deep. And I went down, swam on it again, and checked it a few times, and it was good. But it was so nice. It was like a beautiful day. The weather was perfect. And yeah, it was nice. Lots of good memories. And I was having such a good time that I I decided not to go to the timber inn at the Maker Camp. I know, I'm sorry. I wanted to go, but it's, you know, it's like an hour and a half down from where we are, like Georgetown to East Durham. And I had planned on going, and even up to like the day before, up to Friday, I was like pretty set on going. But then I was just like laying in bed at night before, you know, like, or getting ready to go to bed, and was like, well, I just don't really feel like going. Like, you know, it was like I'd have to wake up early and go down, and then I'd spend a couple hours down there and see people. I think one of the reasons why I didn't end up doing it was, I guess because I think everyone who was there were people that I'd met before, which would have made it really fun, but I didn't feel like I was missing out on meeting new people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's part of the fun too, is like meeting and getting to know new people. And I'm pretty sure that most people were people that were either there last year or that we met at the Maker Camp, and we'll be at Maker Camp this year. So, you know, it was like that weekend always seems so short. You know, we get there on Wednesday and we leave on Sunday. And so we only have like, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday as full days. So if I like take half of one of those days, that only leaves me two and a half like full days. And so I decided not to go.
Yeah.
But so for those of you who were expecting to see me there, I apologize, but I hopefully everyone who, knew I was coming will be at Maker Camp anyway. So we'll see you all there. We'll help to build the timber frame bridge, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I know.
It looks really good.
So I'm thinking of what we can do this year. I definitely want to bring the good camera this year.
Okay.
Because we already did the what it's like kind of vloggy style thing.
Yep.
So now, you know, we need to figure out
another angle.
Another angle.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, I think just picking one topic and like asking everyone the same few questions.
Right. Yeah.
I still think that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, just go up to like, hey, blah, blah, blah. What do you think about this? Or what's one tool you could use for the rest of your life? Or
right. Yeah.
If you were this, what would you be? Or like something kind of silly.
Yeah.
And just get everyone's.
Yeah. I think that would be fun. Right. You know, cause then we could do a video that's like, you know, like we got all the makers in one spot and asked them the same question. You know, you get all these like different perspectives from like all these great makers that we all love.
Right.
Know?
Like you could ask what's a maker, or you could do something like that, or ask, are you a maker? And they'll probably all say yes. And you say, what do you make? And then like ask a silly question at the end.
Right. Yeah.
Or something like that. That would be of interest to people.
Yeah. I saw I don't know if it was part of one of Jimmy Darst's vlogs one time or Instagram reel or something, but he was at a maker event and he was sitting around a table with a bunch of people and he just kind of went around and asked, and they each said their name. And then like they each followed that up with, and I make stuff, or like, I'm a maker, or, you know, it was like, hey, my name's blah, 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 and I like to make stuff, or I make stuff, you know? So I'm a maker. So I was like, yeah, that was kind of cool. Like hearing those different people. So that would be fun just to be able to like have that video and make sure we get everyone's name and stuff and everyone's, you know, like Instagram handle or whatever, you know, then we can have them like on the screen or just shout everybody out like in the description or something.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I can even write it in under each person.
Right. Yeah.
Just, you know, right when you, cause then I think we'll get like there's nice little, handles and microphone flags for the road mic.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can just hold it. That's all it will be. It'll be
right.
Our good camera and the road mic. And you kind of, you know, walk up, talk to whoever we're talking to. And like, hey, can you answer, you want to answer a couple questions for our channel? And then you just, hey, blah, blah, blah. What do you think about this?
Yeah.
If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? silly stuff like that.
Yeah. No, I like that. It's fun. It's fun.
And you can even have a few different ones, and
right,
then everyone has a chance to say something.
Yeah, know, there's a I think it's Make Magazine that does a bunch of different videos from makers and stuff, but they've been doing a series from a maker event like back in 2018 or 19, and there was a younger kid probably in his, like, you know, 15, 16, something like that, who was doing that type of thing, like going around and asking makers, you know, specific questions. And so they've been putting out more recently, like within, you know, the last couple months, every week or so, another one will come out of him asking different makers, like the same subset of questions. So, you know, that's that same idea. But I like the idea of doing something fun and, you know, like quick and then compiling all together to make a recap.
Yeah. And,
you
know. And yeah. And we can have some, I'll get, you know, nice general shots of things going on and whatever.
Yeah,
you right. could even have a conversation with somebody if you want to sit down and talk to them.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then in between, just, you know, you get like five people saying, you know, answering questions and then.
Right.
And then show some something stuff, else. Yeah. And then, yeah.
That sounds cool. That'd be fun. So I just started posting, started making my Maker Camp Maker Swap item.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be cool. So, yeah, that this year. I thought about a couple different things, but then for some reason this idea popped in my head to make a chisel knife. And so if you've never, like, seen a chisel knife, it's basically just a knife, but without, like, a belly and a point. It just, it's cut off flat. And so the flat end of it is, you know, chiseled straight out, and then one side has a bevel. So it's like, you know, you still have a spine and a knife blade going down one side, but then it's just a flat, you know, it just goes straight out. So maybe like an inch all the way out and then just trims off. And then there's a chisel in the end. So you can use it as a chisel or also as a knife, which is just really nice to have that type of versatile tool in a tool bag or something. So that's what I'm going to make. I think it's kind of cool. And it's a good like maker tool that's, you know, can be used for a few different things. And
yeah,
and, yeah, so I started... Went down the shop and was looking at different stuff, and I had the idea again that I would make it from a metal file, because I just think it's a cool, they have cool history, you know, to take something that, you know, especially for, you know, making something for another maker, to take something that has a history that somebody else used it, you know, and did some stuff with it, and it, so it had a life, a maker life before, you know, it is what it is now, and then reuse it. So that's what I'm doing. So worked on just kind of getting the blanked out, because I have a bunch of metal files that I've annealed, and so they're all ready to be like made into whatever. So I pulled a couple of them out and, you know, trued up the sides to get it nice and flat on both sides, nice and like, you know, the right length that I wanted, which is about 8 to 8.5 inches, kind of somewhere right in there. And yeah, I have like a fun idea of what I'm going to do for the chisel. I think I know what it's going to look like. And or at least in my head, I have an idea of what I want it to look like. And so I want to kind of do it sooner rather than later. That way, if I do it and I'm not exactly happy with the shape, I can make another one, because it won't be like super complex shape, you know? So,
right.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited about that. And, I posted a few things about it on Instagram and got some good feedback, like, Man Made in Mass. He said some stuff on my post about, cause he got the marking knife last year. So he said some nice, some kind things about, you know, his knife from last year and was excited to see what I was doing this year. So it'd be cool.
Right on.
Yeah. So I was working on that this week in the shop, and it's been a while since I guess not really a while, but you know, I always feel like when I can tell how long it's been when I've ground a lot of metal, because I'll be like, man, the smell of metal on me is more like annoying when I hadn't done it in a while, you know. I'm like, whew, I really gotta take a shower, just smell like metal, you know. And it's funny, I whatever that was, it was like 4 or 5 days ago that I was working on it, and then like yesterday or something, or the day before, I like leaned over to give Nicole a kiss, and she was like, man, you still smell like metal. I was like, it's crazy. Like taking 2 showers since then or whatever, you know, like a couple showers since then. She's like, yeah, you still smell like it. I was like, okay, well, there are worse things to smell like.
I'm a man, baby.
Yeah, smell like metal.
That's me, metal to the bone.
That's right.
That's cool, yeah. Man. So, yeah, you'll do that. And I thought of maybe something I could make, but I just don't have enough skills to do that. So I don't want to shortchange anybody. And I'll just... It's more like I'm happy to watch it being done. I'm excited. I'm also... Right. You know, I like to see... people who at least I have someone I know, happens to be my brother, who's doing it, so I can be like,
right,
ooh, like I'm excited to see what you're getting, basically.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah, No, I agree. Yeah, I know that. I think maybe we had talked about like a mallet or something. I was thinking about doing a mallet, which is always kind of nice, you know, like mallets are nice. Wooden mallets are really good, and especially if you do like, you know, do something interesting with them, you know, they can be kind of fun. So yeah, I thought about that too. So
because I made so much fun of crappy maker swap things last year that I can't come in with a like a crappy maker swap and like I get like a handmade ukulele you know, and they have like a shitty mallet that I made, you know. I'm like, ugh.
Well, you know, I mean, that's, I guess it, like, the maker swap is for makers, right? People who are proud of things they do, right? So you just make the thing that you're proud of the most.
You have to have, there has to be a baseline that you're good at making stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And some just weren't as, people didn't try as hard.
Right.
That's the main thing, right? If it's a little, if it's not a perfect thing, but someone makes you a whole knife.
Yeah.
You at least know it took you a long time. And
right. Yeah.
It's cool that you made this thing. Or someone makes you something or hangs an axe or does something like that.
Yeah.
But if it's something lazy, then it's just lazy. And
right. Well, like, then there's your answer then. So if you put some time and effort into making something that, you know, does its job well enough, you know, to be used.
I'll do an IOU for 145-minute video.
I will make you a video.
Don't lose that one.
Chip, who was like, you know, came out with Justin Dietrich, and he was kind of like his, you know, main, like they worked together a lot. You know, remember Chip doing timber framing.
Never mind. I thought of a bad term. It's not negative, but I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
He just made sure stuff got done.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He was like kind of comedic relief.
Yeah. He was like, let's go. You know, he was the yeller, but no, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he was. Well, I like joked with him at the timber inn last year, you know, about like not doing anything. He was like, oh, I'm not here to work. I'm just here to make sure you guys aren't doing the wrong thing. He was like, oh, okay. Supervisor. Yeah. But, so he commented, he was like, oh, I guess I got to get my, hops ready or something. So he's a brewer. I think I remember him doing that last year. He made like a 6-pack of beer or something.
Yeah. And then he also, did a paperweight. He had paracord, and he like knotted a paperweight around, you know, a piece of steel, because he was thinking on the way there, maybe this isn't enough, and what if they don't drink, you know, like who knows, it's someone in rehab or something, and you're like, here's a 4 stout,
Lucas, man, he was the one who got my knife last year, and. I think I had the comment here. Yeah. C-flat. Yeah. Chip was like, well, I guess I should clean out my fermenter then. I was like, all right. Yes.
Can we buy a 4?
That's what I was thinking
him?
Too. Yeah. I was like, yeah, if you're going to make some, like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I'll just send him a message. Be like, hey, why don't you bring, you know, bring a bunch and we'll buy some from you or whatever.
We'll buy them. I'm not sharing those though.
Exactly. Yeah.
Those will stay in the cooler.
Well, until you know, had a few, and you start feeling generous.
Yeah, hey, come here. Here you go.
Have one of Chip's beers. Dustin doesn't need this one.
we'll be a little bit more stocked up this year, especially if the other brothers come and whoever else will need.
Yeah,
a lot of brews.
Yeah, I'm excited. It'll be fun. I know that Sean's going to be coming with us this year. He's excited, so I was telling him to get making something for the maker swap. He's like, I don't know, my shop's not set up. I was like, yeah, it is. I helped you set it up for like 2 days. It's ready. He just doesn't have his grinder set up. You know, he doesn't have his electric run. He doesn't have 220 to his shop right now. But I was like, you can make something else. So
yeah, get in on it.
I know. Yeah, and Dennis Tyrell will be there, which is cool. He's sending me a message
it's also his birthday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
or like the 6th or the 8th or maybe it is the 7th.
I don't remember. I feel like it's close to yours. Yeah.
I expect a axe-shaped cake with 35 candles.
Okay. Is your birthday on that actual weekend? I can't remember
on
what
that
the
Friday.
Dates are. Oh, all right, nice.
October 7th.
Sweet.
So the first man. Night. I'll have to take it easy.
Yep.
not get as joyous as I got last first night.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. As long as you don't act fine. Too silly.
Yeah, right, exactly. Everyone's drinking, so everyone's getting a little drunk, and, you know, it's, you just have a good time as long as you can get back to your tent without, like, dying, you know?
Yeah, I'm alive.
But... Yeah, you wake up the next day and keep going, so, you know, that's all you got
to
do.
Yeah, we need to a little bit less on the heavy IPAs, a little bit more standard, just like Natty Bows or Yingling or whatever.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So those things, you're having a good time. Lights. It's a few hours in, you've had like 8, and then all of a sudden you kick in like 2 9% beers that just kind of...
Yeah, like Noah from Smiling Wolf Workshop. Remember he had like, there's like high percent beers last night.
Well, those were perfect because that's like all there was left.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's like, I got a few.
I was like, they were like, Noah, go get your warm beer from your truck. We're running low.
Yeah.
We're all the night before.
Burn. Yeah.
Was it the night before or two nights? The night before, we were all acting like kings. We had a truck full of beer.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man.
Then we're
that
all
was
sharing.
Awesome.
Then the last night, we're all sharing a six pack. Oh, let me get a little hit.
Yeah. It's like when we thought there was still beer in the cooler, but it was like seltzers or something. It was water
it was like,
bottles.
It was like 6 RC Colas. Like,
that's right. You're like, I went to get beer and just came back with 3 sodas.
Would you like a Dr. Fizz?
You're like, at least I'm holding something. I feel like a man holding a drink and drinking it while we're hanging out. Yeah, so speaking of Dennis Tyrell, our the Fantasy Knife build... I'm trying to think of the name of what we call it.
Announcement video.
There you go. The Fantasy Knife Challenge announcement video will be coming out on Friday, the day you're hearing this podcast. So we have that. That'll be 20 new makers and then the 5 top winning makers from the first maker challenge will be competing against each other, or not the first one, the top 5 who won last year will be competing against each other, and they will also be judging the next 20 makers, and we have a guest judge this year, Jason Knight. It's pretty awesome. So
nice. It's a very strange what they have settled on. I feel like they took too many ideas and used half of them all. They're like, all right, so we do this. We have 5 judges. They go get some stuff themselves. Then we have the other 20. Then we square the average. And the winner has to do a blindfold pinata. And they knock out a name of an extra fan who gets to compete for first place. It's like, wait, run it back. Say it again. What happens?
You're like, if I can't say it again the same way, however I'm saying it now, this is how it's going to happen.
Yeah. I heard pinata. That sounds good. And you slice it open with the winner's knife.
Yeah. So I don't remember the exact, like, the percentages, but there will be viewer voting, right? So the viewers are voting on the knife that they like. But I think it's like the viewers' votes are worth like 50% of the voting, and the other 50% is the knife winners, the knife challenge winners, those top 5 plus the 6th Jason Knight, those 6 will also be voting on all of the knives of the 20 makers. So you get knife makers who are now voting and not just people who are watching the videos.
So, yeah. But it didn't take much time to take the democracy out of people's hands.
Yeah.
You don't know who you're
like,
voting
you
for.
Don't know what you're talking about. Let's have someone who knows what they're talking about have a little bit
even
more
though
power.
It always I feel like some people with less viewers and bigger channels, it always kind of balanced out generally. It doesn't really matter, even though now I guess there's prizes and stuff, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Or am I speaking too
No,
far?
Yeah. No, yeah, there's some prizes. We have 3 sponsors for the challenge this time, and I don't know off the top of my head, I'll have to watch again. But I think it's the sponsors are, there's like the winner of the challenge, I think, will get something, and then but also there's the viewer challenge as well, like we did last time for the dagger, where viewers can make a, you know, a fantasy knife, make a video and turn it in, and then all the competitors will then vote on the viewers' knives. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that again, and I think there's some the prizes just like last time for the viewers' knives. It's really cool. So
yeah, it the whole thing gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah,
but here we go.
Yeah, and I have a fun idea, but I don't want to talk about it too much, just because, you know, I don't want to give away too much stuff before the
you told the me what it is yeah. without saying it. Is it the main thing that the person uses, or is it something else?
No, because the person who I said it doesn't actually use a weapon.
They do have a weapon.
She doesn't have a weapon.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So,
but he does, and that's yes. the person who's known.
Yes, right. So, the character, this fantasy character that I'm going to make a dagger for, is the character that my daughter wants to be for Halloween. So, she wants to be this character from a game, and this character doesn't normally have a weapon that this character uses, because this character has another character who always fights for her.
I think you're giving away too much character.
Oh, okay. Details. All right. But that being said, that gives me creative license to how I would make, I'm thinking like some type of daggery type thing.
So you're not actually basing it off of something that she has.
Correct.
Oh, that's a little odd.
Well, I mean, you know, we're just making a fantasy knife, so it doesn't have to be like one that exists. It's just.
But
like
then in the title, are you going to use the thing, the person that everybody knows?
Yeah. No, I'll use the name of the character.
Tricky.
Yeah, right.
Tricky.
Well, I mean, it just gave me a reason to do it, right? Because that's the thing, like with a fantasy knife, that's not like my thing, because I'm like my knives are practical, right? Like I want to make something that is practical, that would be like used, you know. I'm not about like a ton of like flash. So doing a fantasy knife to me seems impractical. Like I'm not going to use this.
Yeah, true, but
it's fun. It's all fun.
But I think it's an interesting exercise to try to copy something exactly. Not that you haven't done that already
right.
with the bushcraft knife.
Right, right.
But, I mean, obviously it's all up to interpretation. And then
yeah, and it will have characteristics that are recognizable to...
You can do some of the things?
Yes.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, so it'll be my artistic interpretation of what she might have based off of the other emblems and symbols from the characters.
So, yeah, we'll just say it. It's Twilight. And the vampire. What's her name? What's the girl's name? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. My daughter. Oh, what is her name? Yeah. Kristen. What's the actress's name?
Yeah,
Kristen,
yeah.
It's Kristen Stewart.
There's going to be a vampire tooth.
Just a vampire. I'm going to make teeth for Corinne. Fantasy knife. Teeth full of them. No, so I think it'll be fun, and I think it's actually been fun to talk about this for the last few minutes without saying any names. It's been interesting.
Yeah, I guess nerds will probably have guessed it.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fine. And, you know, I don't mind obviously talking about it, but I just, you know, and I don't think the competitors or the other challenge, like the other competitors, I don't think they also don't mind if people talk about it. We just don't want to show a lot of what it looks like beforehand. So,
So
I might, you know, I'll keep people updated on the status of how things are going, but yeah, that'll be one of the next videos we work on. That'll come out, in October. So we'll have to talk to our sponsor about putting that video out a couple of days later then.
Yeah.
But I think they'll be fine because, you know, it's part of a giant thing. We have Trollski is a pretty well-known knife maker. He'll be competing with us this time, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, as long as we still have a sponsor. They weren't happy with our last turnout.
Well, you know, it is what it is. We'll see how they... I don't think that the toy box is going to do super well either, but that's okay. But the bow-making video...
They're going to be like, geez, I thought you guys were making tools. apparently just tables and toy boxes.
Furniture.
Yeah, that's our niche, tables and toy boxes. Well, if they're still around by the time the bow and the knife comes out, I think they will be plenty happy. And if they're not, well.
Well, I mean, they will be because we've already...
Not necessarily. They can back out any time they want.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Oh, well.
So we'll keep you guys up with all that, all the dirt, all the dirty.
How it works on the dirty side.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that'll be fun. Did I tell you about the folding puko that I want to make? The folding knife.
Will that be our third video?
Might be. Well, I guess it
might
would
as
be.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, so I want to make a folding knife, and I'm not exactly sure yet if I want to do a like a liner lock, which I think I might do, or just a friction folder. So, you know, like either a locking knife or just a friction opening knife. But
yeah.
But I have a really nice piece of Damascus that I got from Matt Aaron, I think his name is. Yeah, Matt Aaron from Aaron Creative Company sent me some Damascus. And so I'm going to use that to do the blade.
Oh, yeah, 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 that's right.
Yeah, and then and there's a really beautiful design knife from Spyderco. They made a folding puko, which just the design is just gorgeous. So I'm going to replicate that somewhat, you know. That'll be the main basis for my design. It might change a little bit, you know, but
yeah, I was
going to say, but either way, I'll give them props, you know. They don't make it anymore, so, you know.
I was going to say you could use it for your fantasy knife, but I think you'd get negative marks for not making your own Damascus.
Yeah, right, exactly. Here's a piece of Damascus I got. I don't know. It's Damascus is flashy. It's really pretty. But again, it's, you know, to me it's I can't imagine it's better than mono steel. You know, it looks nice.
Well, multiple layer, well, unless you do it right.
I mean, well, yeah, so if you're doing something like San Mai, right, then San Mai is like a a harder core with a softer outer cladding, right? Then you're like matching toughness with hardness. So like, you know, steels, like sandwich steels can be better, but like a Damascus, if you're taking a bunch of different steels and you're all heat treating them one way, you gotta imagine that like that inaccuracy, like that you're not heat treating everything the same way. Although I'm not heat treating things the way they really should be anyway. You know, I'm eyeballing it in a forge. So,
you know, it'd be cool.
I like the look of it, but every one that I've like held, I'm always like, they're pretty cool. But there are some really beautiful.
It'd be cool if you could do some type of, well, no, I guess that wouldn't work. I was thinking like two separate pieces of steel, slightly different colored. But then it could kind of split. Like, it could look like one bigger blade.
Right.
And then you slide it apart. Oh. And there's two blades.
Right. Yeah.
You know? No, something like that. Who knows? Yeah. But that'll take a lot more time.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, that's the other thing, yeah. It's we have to consider the amount of time things take, too, just because, you know, we're not full-time knife makers.
Maybe just a really interesting handle.
It'll be cool, you know, like definitely the guard for what I'm making will be really, you know, it'll be pretty interesting. I'll probably do some like you know, engraving on it or whatever, and some cool symbols and things, and maybe the handle will also be, you know, specific.
Maybe,
and, you know, I could even do something on the blade. Like I could do like a hamon, you know, so do some ceramic, you know, coating on it. And that's the other thing, right? A hamon to me is really nice because that, again, is practical, right? You're softening, you're covering part of the blade, so that way when you quench it, you get like a softer part and a harder part. And so that softer part gives you more toughness, like it keeps things from snapping. So I could do something like that and create a pattern, which would be kind of cool too.
Yeah.
That would make
or you
an
could
interesting
do some type of, well, I don't know, I'm just saying a lot of things. Like a skeleton style, not totally the whole thing, but a piece of the blade could be
skeletonized.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, cut some stuff out. Yeah, that could be cool. I like that idea. Mm, yeah. Cool. Yeah. And we are recording this Thursday night. We started a little early, so we're kind of nice, 9 o'clock. But I will be wrapping this up and then editing it and getting ready to go out tomorrow morning, and I will be heading down to Annapolis, leaving our dock at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning to go to the Governor's Cup. which is our annual big bay race that we do here in the Chesapeake Bay. We race it's like 68 miles from Annapolis down the bay into the Potomac River into to St. Mary's College. So overnight race, we'll be starting at 3:10, sailing all through the night. And as far as what we were looking at last night, we were sailing, we're looking at race on Wednesday night. So on Wednesday night, we were racing, and we also were looking at all the predictions and stuff for wind. The wind looks really good. The wind looks like it's coming from the west, and the bay, when you're sailing down the bay, you're sailing slightly southwest. Southeast, mm-hmm. right? So if the wind's mm-hmm. coming from the west, you're going down away from it. So we'll have either a reach, which is like off the wind, the wind's kind of coming from your side, you can just cruise all down the bay all night, or we'll have either a slightly upwind, which same thing, we can still cruise straight down the bay, or we'll have a slightly downwind. So anything from the west is good. It makes like for a very comfortable race and a quick race. So, yeah. And our boat does well in that type of those positions. So hopefully we'll have that, and it'll be a nice cruise down the bay. Hopefully we can put up our spinnaker and fly down like we did last year. And I'll update everybody next week how we did.
Or maybe.
Yeah, right. Next week I'll be
We'll all be camping.
Maybe we'll record, I don't know. When are you leaving on Wednesday?
I'm leaving Thursday.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I'll be there Wednesday through Saturday. Yeah. So maybe we record with out in the woods. I don't know. That'd be kind of fun. We could do a quick one. You know, I can just bring the stuff along. We can set up and do it.
Yeah. Cool. Right on. Well, good luck.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hopefully we talk to everyone next week live from camping.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be kind of cool. And I know we talked briefly about reaching out to, what was it, the Gypsy Trails, which we talked about, the couple that's hiking the AT, but they're like up in Pennsylvania now. They're here and gone.
They passed us, dang.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we were all on vacation, and then they were posting that they were at Harper's Ferry. Like, and that was the Sunday that you were gone. I was like, oh man, they're already gone. Like already done. So, but you know, I mean, I guess even if they're like up in Pennsylvania, you can like drive up somewhere and meet them. But,
yeah.
You know, all this busy vacations in the summer, how anybody gets anything done?
Right.
So I had two recommendations today. My first was Matt Aaron from Aaron Creative Company on Instagram. He's the one who sent me the Damascus, and that'll be coming up soon. So check him out. And the other thing that I wanted to recommend is a video I watched today called Making a Clay Pot by Shinobu Hashimoto. And just a Japanese potter, younger guy, I guess probably, you know, in his 30s or 40s, something like that. And just beautiful, like just, you know, just turning things on like clay on the wheel, and just really, you know, nicely done. And there's something very like deliberate and usually calm and slow about the way Japanese artisans and craftsmen work, which is always just super fascinating to me. So, you know, just like that kind of that like Asian craftsman mentality, you know? And so it hits all those right keys and the things I love watching about it. Just beautiful, beautiful craftsmanship. So if you want to watch some really interesting stuff, and he does lead to some live streams, and he talks about like, why he uses different tools and stuff. Like he's got a pretty interesting channel. You know, it's not just, you know, watching him make pots or, you know, just not just making clay things. He does a lot of other stuff to kind of build the community around what he does. So
yeah.
You can check out his channel again. That's Shinobu Hashimoto, Making a Clay Pot.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have any recommendations?
I watched, there's this, I guess it's a series. Now, again, I keep giving props to the guys from Top Gear.
Yeah.
but no, James May has a show, a travel show, and it's mm-hmm. Our Man Inn on Amazon Prime. So he did Japan like 3 years ago, and he did like 6 episodes on it, an hour each.
Oh, right.
He just did an Italy version.
Ooh, nice.
So he goes to Italia, and it's pretty good. I really enjoyed it. I watched all of them. There's, like I said, 6 hours or 6 episodes, an hour each.
Yeah. Nice.
He's good. He's a very, I like him because he's a very, like, technical guy, mm-hmm. and he wants to find out about, like, the art and how things are made and, like, what tools you use for it and all that stuff. So half of it's that. Half of it, he also makes jokes about. He's like, the producers want me to dress up in silly things and look stupid. You know? So he does that, right. too. But he's just good. I mean, all those guys are such good presenters, obviously. They had one of the top shows in the world. So Our Man in Italy on Amazon Prime. Really, really good.
So Our Man in, and then the name of whatever the country is.
Mm-hmm.
Our Man Italy.
James May, Our Man in Italy.
All
right. Or Our Man in Japan, whatever interests you.
Right. / Japan. I will put links to those in the show notes.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's see. I was looking for a Dogs Are Forever in the Push-Up Position.
Oh.
I wish I could play Little League now. I'm way better than before. I saw a human pyramid once. It was very unnecessary. More Mitch Hedberg quotes. Yeah. I actually pulled up a list of them earlier and then I never got it. I was like planning to, like, you know, put them in occasionally, but my fake plants died because I did not pretend to water them. Oh, here's a good one. We'll end on this one. Well, a severed foot is the ultimate stocking stuffer. so good. Yeah, he's like the king of one-liners.
Yeah.
this is a good one. Okay. We're just going to say it a lot. This shirt is dry clean only, which means it's dirty.
That's a good one.
All right, everybody, thank you all so much for listening. Make sure you head over to YouTube and subscribe there. Let us know what you think. Head over, check out our newest video on the Wine Barrel Table. We've got a lot of good feedback, even though not a ton of views, but you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, go look at it and subscribe and use our code for Skillshare.
Yeah.
so they don't stop being our sponsor.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like we said last week, even if you go over and you like use our code and sign up for that 1 month free or whatever it is, you know, and then cancel, even like the next day,
yeah,
we'll get those numbers to go up. So
we need some love.
Those passionate followers of the podcast and the YouTube channel, head over and help us out. And also head over to Instagram, follow us there, The Art of Craftsmanship and The Art of Camera Guy. You can see some beginning pictures of the Maker Camp Maker Swap chisel knife that I'm working on. Other than that, again, if you want to support our channel and the podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship and support us there. And we really, really appreciate all of those who do. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.